Richard, the first London performance of Michael Barclay's Organ Concerto. That's in an hour from now. This is BBC Radio 3. We're broadcasting on 90 to 93 FM, on digital radio and online. It's 1 o'clock now, and time for the latest BBC News, read by Katrina Young.
New allegations that British intelligence officials were involved in the rendition of Libyan terrorist suspects will be investigated by an independent inquiry. The Prime Minister's official spokesman said the Gibson inquiry, which will look at claims about detainees taken to Guantanamo Bay, was well placed to look at the new evidence. Documents uncovered in Tripoli suggest that British officials colluded in the seizure by the CIA of a commander of the Tripoli Military Council 7 years ago. The head of the Libyan opposition says Saturday's deadline for the surrender of all areas under Colonel Gaddafi's control is still in force. His comments come despite reports from the desert town of Bani Walid that talks have collapsed and military action might be imminent. He said two of Colonel Gaddafi's sons who'd been blocking a surrender have now left the area. The Deputy Prime Minister Nick Clegg says the government's new free schools must be open to all children and not just a privileged few. In a speech delivered as the first wave of state-funded independent schools began opening in England, Mr Clegg made clear they'd never be allowed to run for profit. The UN says the famine gripping Somalia has now spread to another part of the country and is likely to worsen in the coming months. It says rates of acute malnutrition in the Bai region of southern Somalia have reached famine levels. The trial of Egypt's former president Hosni Mubarak on charges of corruption and ordering the killing of hundreds of protesters has resumed in Cairo. Mr Mubarak was carried into court on a stretcher as police clashed with groups of his supporters and opponents who gathered outside. The eviction of travellers from the UK's largest illegal site is to take place in 2 weeks' time. A UN committee has called on the government to suspend the eviction of around 400 residents from Dale Farm in Essex, but Basildon Council has said it'll go ahead with its plans. And the weather, most areas will have a sunny afternoon with some scattered showers and it'll be quite windy. And that's the BBC News and weather. Now on Radio 3, it's time for Proms Chamber Music. It comes live from the Cadogan Hall in London and is presented by Catherine Bott.
Welcome to Cadogan Hall for the last, but absolutely not the least, of this year's Proms Chamber Music recitals. We're going to hear Mozart's last major work for violin and piano, and Bartok's first, works that in their different ways make exceptional demands on their players' techniques. Cometh the sonatas, cometh the men. Today's performers are violinist Christian Tetzlaff, who's already been heard at the Proms this year playing Brahms's violin concerto, and he'll be giving the keenly awaited United Kingdom premiere of Harrison Birtwistle's concerto in Prom number 70 on Wednesday. Joining him is his regular duo partner, pianist Lars Vogt. Lars played the Grieg concerto at the 2010 Proms season and came to Cadogan Hall the very next day for a memorable recital of Schubert and Janáček. Both today's artists are equally at ease with sweeping concertos designed for big halls and the more contained chamber music that's ideal for this one. And so was Mozart, whose sonata in A major K526 begins this recital. Mozart wrote it in Prague in 1787 while he was working on the opera Don Giovanni, and in the sonata he used some of the principles he had evolved in the construction of his piano concertos. So it's a work with an element of grandeur. Alfred Einstein called it a perfect reconciliation of styles. And to demonstrate that right now and play Mozart's sonata in A major, we welcome Christian Tetzlaff and Lars Vogt.
Thank you. Thank you.
Mozart's last full-scale sonata for violin and piano, K526, was played by Christian Tetzlaff and Lars Vogt. In a couple of minutes, we're going to take us to, well, a complete change of emotional climate as they play Bartok's first sonata for violin and piano. But first, I've got a question for both of them, starting with Christian. If you're going to put composers into boxes, it's very easy and perhaps quite lazy to say Mozart goes in the civilized, refined, sublime box, and Bartok goes in the visceral, gutsy, challenging box. But you have got much more from a musician's point of view to say about that. So if I stick this microphone under your chin, give us your musician's vocabulary.
Those boxes are quite fine. When you asked me before, what should I ask? I thought the only connection between those two pieces would be done by Monty Python's and now to something completely different. But it is not totally true, because Mozart hints a lot at the darkness, at the loss or total beauty of things, but he hints at it. And Bartok, in this piece, he goes all the way into a wild dreamscape of beauty, but also of terror, of wildness in a different way. I mean, this last movement of the Mozart, of course, has a lot of physical energy as well, but this is a different cup of tea of energy here. I wanted to just to make that clear. For instance, the form of the two pieces of the first movements is identical. It's a normal sonata movement form, but in the Mozart, that seems to be quite graspable for everybody. And in the Bartok, because it's such a dreamscape of totally different sceneries where this magician is leading us, I just wanted to play three excerpts of that movement, which would correspond to a normal classical sonata as the first theme in the exposition, then when everything gets changed once more, and at the end it comes back. But they are quite transformed, and we should just play those three places. Comes when he changes in this piece, he opens new doors, the same theme comes again, but under disguise. For the last part of the movement, it is like homecoming, but it still sounds quite different to the beginning.
I want to hear from you.
Yeah, that if you hear it for the first time, it might not come immediately to your mind that this is the same theme going through drastic developments and beautifications. but now you will, of course, know how everything goes.
I would imagine they'll be able to sing along. A quick last question for you, Lars. You've programmed these two pieces. One is, in a way, a closing, a finale to Mozart's writing of that particular kind of piece. And this is very much a quest, this Bartok. It's his first one. Why did you decide to put them together? Was it Christian's decision, your decision? How did you work out today's program?
We always work that out between us. Usually our agents always complain because I always say, oh, ask Christian, he'll say what we'll do. And Christian always says, ask Lars, he'll say what we'll do.
That sounds like a very good way to proceed. Well, now to the other work in this Proms Chamber Music recital. It was written 90 years ago, in 1921, by the 40-year-old Bartók, and it was first performed in London by its dedicatee, the violinist Jiří Daraňi, with the composer at the piano. Bartók was, creatively speaking, in what we could, I suppose, call nowadays a holding pattern, and one authority on his music has suggested that the subtext of the sonata is the urgent question, where next? But that London premiere was successful enough to give Bartók great encouragement. It demonstrated that there was a public for his music far beyond his native Hungary. Christian Tetzlaff and Lars Vogt play Bartók's Sonata No. 1 in C sharp minor for violin and piano.
Thank you. Thank you.
Bartok's first sonata for violin and piano was played by Christian Tetzlaff and Lars Vogt, ending their Proms chamber music recital and indeed this season of Monday Proms from Cadogan Hall. It'll be repeated on Saturday, and if you can't wait that long, go to the Radio 3 website where it's available for the next 7 days. Next Monday's lunchtime recital on Radio 3 will come live from Wigmore Hall with pianist Lise de la Salle playing Chopin and Liszt. Christian Tetzlaff, of course, will be at the Royal Albert Hall this coming Wednesday with the UK premiere of Birtwistle's Violin Concerto. But for now, a very good afternoon from me, Catherine Bott, handing you back for the last time this summer to Broadcasting House.
Thank you to Catherine Bott. And as she said, you can hear that concert again on Radio 3 next Saturday afternoon, and that's at 2 o'clock. Well, the time this Monday afternoon has just gone 6 minutes past two, and now we've another chance to hear last Saturday evening's Prom. It's presented by Penny Gore.
The BBC National Orchestra of Wales returns to the Royal Albert Hall tonight for the fifth and last of its concerts this season. And with principal guest conductor Jacques van Steen at the helm, we're in for a colourful evening, complete with musical tall tales from Kodály's irrepressible fantasist Harry Janosch, variations on a celebrated Paganini theme by Rachmaninoff with pianist Marc-André Amelin, and the London premiere of Michael Barclay's Organ Concerto featuring David Good at the mighty Royal Albert Hall organ. But the overture to the evening comes with a flourish from Edward Elgar. Although country-born, he'd lived and worked in London for years, and it was the city's cheek-by-jowl mix of humble and grand, commonplace and exalted that he chose to celebrate in Cockaigne, a concert overture subtitled In London Town. Church bells, military bands and the capital's inhabitants are all portrayed here with a characteristic Elgarian mixture of affection, tenderness and grandeur. In fact, the composer put it perfectly when he said that the title calls up to my mind all the good humour, jollity and something deeper in the way of English good fellowship abiding still in our capital. Well, the members of the orchestra are already entuned and rising to their feet now to welcome tonight's conductor, Jacques van Steen, to begin this concert with Elgar's Cockaigne Overture.
Thank you.
cheerful and London-y, stout and stakey. That was Elgar's bluff assessment of his cocaine overture in London Town, which he completed in the spring of 1901. An exuberant opening to tonight's prom from the BBC National Orchestra of Wales, conducted by Jacques van Steen. And Elgar himself conducted the piece here at the proms in the Queen's Hall, and incidentally, Cocaine was also the first composition ever to be broadcast from the proms. It's a little bit of proms history for you. More details about that online at bbc.co.uk/prom/archive. And Jacques van Steen back on stage now. And cheers and whistles from the audience, who greatly approved of that concert opener. Well, you may also have noticed the awesome Royal Albert Hall organ in action towards the end of that overture, played by David Good. And he'll be returning to the organ next this evening as the soloist in the London premiere of Michael Barclay's Organ Concerto, which was written in 1987. I talked to Michael Barclay during this afternoon's rehearsal, and he told me about the influences that helped inspire the piece.
When I was a chorister at Westminster Cathedral, one of the ceremonies I remember most clearly was the bringing of light in at Easter into a darkened cathedral. I always thought it was something so wonderful about it, but there's not only the element of light and fire as something that illuminates and cleanses, but as something that is terribly destructive. So that was really the opening idea in my mind.
And tell me a bit about the orchestration of this, because you have offstage trumpets at one point.
Well, I wanted to try and create this idea of trumpets processing in, being the bearers of the light. So they sound like sort of liquid molten metal almost, out of phase trumpet, with a kind of Gregorian chant phrase. The trumpets bring the light into the orchestra, which then catches fire.
Now, it's called a concerto officially, but you said elsewhere that it isn't really a concerto.
No, it's a piece more or less about the ritual. The organ weaves in and out of the orchestra. Sometimes you're not sure if you're listening to a woodwind or a brass instrument. At other times, it completely overtakes everything and you've got no doubt at all what's happening here.
Michael Barclay, whose organ concerto we'll be hearing in a couple of minutes. Well, I was chatting earlier this afternoon to David Good, our soloist tonight, about the piece, and he was saying how delighted he is to have a chance to play it again. He has already performed it with the orchestra and Jacques van Steen in Cardiff, and he's played here at the Royal Albert Hall several times, so no stranger to the hall or to the instrument. And here now, coming onto the stage, is Jacques van Steen. David Good taking his place also for tonight's performance, the London premiere of the Organ Concerto by Michael Barclay.